Tribune Radio is on the air. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. On this edition of PTR, we bring you a speech by Leo Girard, President of the United Steelworkers of America.
But if you take the scandals, where do you want to start? Let's just start recently. Let's start with the Reagan-Bush deregulations of the savings and loan. We don't know how many billions of dollars. We never did know. They're going to try to pull the same crap. We never did know how much money got stolen because they found a couple of people to put in jail. And once they put a couple of people in jail, they said it's all fixed. Go find how many shrub bushes lined their pockets at the savings and loan. And then follow from there.
People's Tribune Radio is produced by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, who also published the newspaper, People's Tribune, Tribuno del Pueblo. Stay tuned for contact and ordering information at the end of the program. As the scandals escalate and the economy deteriorates, more and more working people are getting fed up. Not only are they getting fed up, but they're also getting fired up. In late July, the Labor Party held its political convention in Washington, D.C. Among the many speakers to address the crowd of over 1,000 delegates at the capital city Hilton was Leo Girard, fiery president of the United Steelworkers of America.
Before I came over, I said to Bill Kleinfelter, our legislative director who came with me, I'm not sure exactly what I should speak about. So many things going on. And Bill very wisely said, well, today's triple double cross day. And today what's going on in the House is that the Republican majority apparently has reached a deal in the dark of night with the conference on fast track. But as of my leaving our legislative office to come here, no one has yet seen the paper, so we don't know how bad we've been sold out by either group. But we do know we've been sold out. They're in the process of passing a new bankruptcy law, that will cater to the credit card companies that have been marketing credit cards like there's no tomorrow. They almost market them as well as you market Cheerios or what is that Breakfast of Champions stuff, Wheaties. And in the Homeland Security Bill, where people are being transformed into assuming that everyone who doesn't look or sound like them is some kind of representative of another evil empire, they're in the process of stripping public sector bargaining rights under the guise of Homeland Security. So as we're meeting here today, there is the triple double cross going on. But as a nation, I can't imagine a greater double cross than a public, for-profit, rip-off, at every step, healthcare system. So if the people of this country are looking for reasons to get angry, or looking for reasons to get mobilized and energized, we don't have a shortage of them. Our union, the Steelworkers Union, has lost 100,000 members in less than 3 years. Most of them from productive plants, most of them from workplaces where we were amongst the most productive workers in the world. Our problem was that in most of those workplaces we had bargained good quality health care. In most of those workplaces we had decent pension plans. In most of those workplaces, we had enough of a say in the workplace that we could resist stupidity. We had enough at the collective bargaining table that our members could raise their kids with some dignity, maybe take a little holiday and maybe put something away for the future. And in the global environment that the same corporate thieves who have been scamming the stock market are building for us, those workers had too much. And under the guise of something called free trade, millions and millions of American workers in the electronics industry, the pulp and paper industry, the aerospace industry, the manufacturing sector in general, the auto industry, the chemical industry. You can go through almost every manufacturing sector in America. And if I ask you the question, is the steel industry doing well? Hell no. Is the mining industry doing well? Hell no. Is there an industry that's doing well? We've destroyed the electronics industry, all in the guise of free trade. First they move south to right to work, and then they move south with NAFTA. And when they got to Mexico and wages were 79 cents and 89 cents and $1.29 an hour, a little bit high, but maybe we can stay for a while. Workers started finding ways to resist. We started helping them. Average wage increases in some places in the last few years were averaging 8%. It's a lot. It's a big wage increase. 8% on a buck is 8 cents. Now, 8% on a buck and a half is 12 cents an hour increase. 5,000 companies picked up and left the Maquila zone for China, Vietnam, Thailand, Burma. If you can't get angry about that, then get the hell out of the labor movement. You don't belong here. The country has a $450 billion trade deficit. We have to bring in $1.3 billion a day of foreign capital to fund that trade deficit. How did that trade deficit get funded? We sold our assets. We sold our assets through hyping stock on Wall Street and sucking in the foreign money to invest. We sold our assets with an overvalued American dollar. And when the stock market collapses as it's doing, the political elite, the rich and the powerful, will again meet in the dark of night and figure out what to do for themselves. These Wall Street scandals aren't a couple of bad apples in a barrel. It's the goddamn apple is rotten to the core. But if you take the scandals, where do you want to start? Let's just start recently. Let's start with the Reagan-Bush deregulations of the savings and loan. We don't know how many billions of dollars. We never did know. They're going to try to pull the same crap. We never did know how much money got stolen because they found a couple of people to put in jail. And once they put a couple of people in jail, they said it's all fixed. Go find how many shrub bushes lined their pockets at the savings and loan, and then follow from there. A lot of you remember hyping of the stock, telling workers and trustees in pension funds that you got to invest in the Asian tigers. That's where the growth is. You didn't know if you were investing in apples, oranges, or bananas. And when the Asian economy collapsed, we lost trillions of dollars. Orange County went bankrupt, you remember? Then we said, we were told, the Latin American economy is hot now, until that collapsed. Then they came up with this scheme of hedge funds. And when the hedge funds started collapsing, it was the financial institutions that were at risk. And Alan Greenspan called them together in the dark of night and decided that they had to bail out the hedge funds because if the hedge funds collapsed, it could bring down the American financial institutions. And if they collapsed, we'll be all those poor little capitalists. So they bailed them out in the dark of night. And then you get this most recent round. Go to the AFL-CIO website. The AFL-CIO, since the election of John Sweeney and Rich Trumka and Linda Chavez Thompson, have been yelling and screaming about the corporate excess, only to get told You know, they're just terrorizing you. They don't know what they're talking about. 7 trillion dollars in this round, just this round, not the earlier ones I've talked about, in this round so far, $7 trillion of workers' pension equity has gone up in smoke. And what are they yelling and screaming about? I laughed with Bill Kleinfelter as we were driving over. They've picked the oldest one. They've picked the oldest CEO of the thieves and hauled him off in handcuffs yesterday on television. They made sure the TV cameras would be there to see him get hauled away. They never tell you what happened after he got hauled away. They took him over and arraigned him, then sent him back to his 27-room mansion to suffer. These aren't iffy issues. These aren't gray. These are issues that in many ways are going to mean the life and death of our movement and are going to mean the kind of standard of living that just this generation passes on to the next. My dad was a union activist. My dad was a union miner. My dad was a union miner who was an organizer. My dad was a socialist. My dad was a political activist. And my dad passed on to me more than had been given to him. And I owe it, as you owe it, to my kids and their kids to pass on a better labor movement and a better social justice movement than I was privileged to inherit. And I heard Quinton's answer about health care. Nothing happens in any country if the labor movement isn't at the lead of that change. We may not be able to do it by ourselves, but if you get the labor movement with the student movement, with the environmental movement, with the anti-poverty movement, with the social justice movement, with the civil rights movement, and if you get all of our movements together, those movements can topple governments. And they've done them world over. But we need to build. We need to build at the grassroots. To build in these communities, build in these states, and bring about new values, new agendas, new directions, and prove that our values are better than their values. I often quote to our staff, to our members, and to other forums that I get privileged to speak to, someone who I despise, Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich was a smart person. He was clever, and maybe overplayed his hand. But he understood bringing about change. And what he said after the 94 election is at the heart of why President Becker at the time, as the President and I as Secretary Treasurer, along with our board and our leadership and our changed the Union's political direction. And what he said was, very, very cleverly, he said on one of those Sunday morning political shows, he said, you need to understand that we're in a cultural war for whose set of values will shape the next century as we come to the end of this decade. That was in 1994. What we have today in America is the results of the right wing accelerating that cultural war in the last 8 years. We have a healthcare system that if you speak about it openly, if you analyze it, you come to know it, you can explain it in several ways. The way that I like to explain it, it's a racist, class-based healthcare system. George Bush should be able to put all of the Hispanics he wants. And he should be able to get on TV and occasionally throw out the odd Hispanic word that he's been trained for a week to say. And he can pray to his nephew. But the fact of the matter is that 45% of Hispanics in this country have no health care. What's he going to do about that? He can parade J.C. Watts around, you know, football player that probably played too many practices without his helmet. And he can parade him around as the new face of the compassionate conservative right. But more than 30% of African Americans have no health care. 60% of people making under 20,000 have no health care. They run around talking about temporary work and part-time work, and that's the new economy. But let me tell you, 94% of people that have what we call temporary work have no health care. 40 million Americans have no health care in the richest society on earth. That is indefensible. There was more money lost by Wall Street deception. There was more money given away to the rich and powerful in unwarranted tax breaks in the last 3 months than it would take to fund health care. Let me read you a quote. In an era of globalization, we need every competitive and comparative advantage we have, and the fundamentals of our health care system are one of those advantages. The health care system is an economic asset, not a burden, one that today more than ever our country dare not lose. Let me tell you who said that. Charles Bailey, Chairman and CEO of the Toronto-Dominion Bank of Canada. You don't have to be a damn raving socialist nut to understand that you get a competitive advantage from providing health care to each of your citizens. You have a competitive disadvantage when it costs the steel industry in America $6.25 an hour to provide health care to its active and retired employees, when in Canada it costs $2.25 an hour. There's something wrong with the system when those basic fundamentals that are so obvious on their face are ignored by the best politicians money can buy in Washington. And if we're going to do anything about that, the labor movement is going to have to decide to do something about it. People may not realize when we talk about the Canadian healthcare system, we didn't get the Canadian healthcare system from the federal government. What we did is the labor movement went out and worked with its allies and got the healthcare system at the provincial level, the state level. And we got it first in a little wee province of Saskatchewan. Combination of industrial workers and farmers. And the then premier of the province of Saskatchewan, the little wee person, about 5'4", named Tommy Douglas, one of the great heroes in Canadian political and economic history, with a parliamentary majority passed a health care bill in the province of Saskatchewan that provided health care at a fixed cost for every man, woman, and child. The doctors went on strike, and the hospitals shut down. And after 3 weeks, less people were dying. True story, true story. So Canadians are nobody's fool. The doctor settled, and we had health care in the province of Saskatchewan first, then a couple of more provinces, then the province that I'm from, the province of Ontario, where the labor movement was largest and most powerful at the time. We struck any company that wouldn't give us health care, and they created something called OHIP, the Ontario Hospital Insurance Program, and they set a set cost for health care in the province. And after we had done that in enough places, bosses who were paying for health care at 100% and some that were paying at 50% started saying, hey, everybody ought to pay. Because bosses are greedy. If you got something, they don't want, you know, others to not have it, right? So that's how we ended up with the national health care system. And it's not that old. I was a union rep in the 70s bargaining OHIP premiums. So full health care, we've never had to stop fighting for it in Canada. One of the reasons I have all these health care facts in my head right now is I've been back to Canada half a dozen times participating in health care debates across the country as the right wing is trying to privatize the system. It's like freedom. You got to fight for it every generation. You can never let down your guard. So I would encourage you to use the Labour Party to build a grassroots movement. I would encourage you to become the loudest voice amongst many voices that challenges the labor movement to fight for a national health care program. I think of the hundreds of thousands of steelworker members. It can break your heart. The hundreds of thousands of steelworker members who fought America's wars, whose kids went to Vietnam and whose grandkids went to the Persian Gulf, who today, when companies go into bankruptcy, have no health care. People who left the workplace as a result of those millions of jobs that the system moved out of America, who when the job moved, they were left with nothing. Those people that won't be able to declare bankruptcy while corporations who are having their bosses steal everything out from under them will. And while they can't declare bankruptcy, with the little income they have, they'll have to choose between medication and food. Because under this racist, class-based healthcare system, they'll either have to leave their spouse to qualify, they'll have to sell their home to qualify, or they'll have to spend their savings to qualify, so that when they're qualifying, they are absolutely dead poor. That system is just straight out bullshit. And we got to try to do something about it. So let me close. You're here because you're committed. You're here because you want some change. Being here ain't enough. You know? I've been in a labor movement a long time. I didn't fall off a cabbage truck. Lots of people go to things because their local sent them or their union sent them. And besides, it's better to be there than at work. You know? Folks over there know. That was all CNA folks too. You work for Roseanne, I don't understand that shit. Anyhow. Some of them are laughing and some are afraid to laugh. We need to go back and figure out how to build a movement. And if you take all of the people that are getting screwed in this society, there's more of us than them. You know? Something like 85% of the wealth that was generated in the last 20 or 25 years went to the top 20% in our society. That sounds really bad until you peel the onion one more layer. And the next layer says that 90% that went to that top 20% went to the top 1%. So if you're a person making $125,000 or $30,000, you're in that top 20%. You're probably marginally better off today. You might be making $135,000 or $140,000 or $160,000 or something. But if you're in that top 1%, you're millions better off. And that's the group that's feeding at the trough on Wall Street, that's telling us we can't have health care, that's today rewriting the bankruptcy laws, the fast-track laws, and that. And if we don't figure out a way to change that system, I believe this fundamentally, and I speak for both Canada and the United States because the same thing's going on in both countries, just at different levels. It threatens to undermine, in my view, the basic principle of democracy. When you can't get change because the pigs at the trough are throwing too much feed to the politicians, the system is already broke. And if it's going to be changed, it's going to be changed by those of us who are able to lead the building of a movement. And that's your challenge. Thank you.
Leo Girard, President of the United Steelworkers of America, from his speech given at the Labor Party Convention held in Washington, D.C. this past July. That's it for this edition of People's Tribune Radio. People's Tribune Radio is produced by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. The League advocates for a cooperative society with economic and social justice for all. If you'd like more information about the League or our other print or audio publications, you can contact us by calling 1-800-691-6888, 1-800-691-6888, or on the Internet at www.lrna.org. This program was made possible in part with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and KVMR-FM Radio. My name is Mike Thornton, and on behalf of the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, we invite you to join us next time for another edition of People's Tribune Radio.